Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 16. The cup of blessing that we give thanks for, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? This is the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, these last three Sundays of the church year, we reflect upon the sacrament of the altar, or as we often call it, the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. And the first of these three Sundays today, we consider the nature of the Lord's Supper. And it's easy to turn to the words in the Catechism where Luther asks and answers so straightforwardly, what is the sacrament of the altar? The sacrament of the altar is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. With, some pretty pure obviousness, this biblical doctrine of the Lord's Supper is referred to as the real presence. Why do we call it the real presence? Well, because the body and blood of Christ, according to Scripture, are really present, together with the bread and wine in the Holy Supper. This is what the Scriptures teach. Matthew teaches it, Mark teaches it, Luke teaches it, Paul teaches it, all, of course, from the words of Christ himself. And they're all in agreement. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What Jesus says is pretty clear and straightforward. He says, take and eat this. This bread is my body. Take and drink this. This wine is my blood. As I said, Matthew records it, Mark records it, Luke records it. And at first, an initial response might be to dismiss it as meaning just what it says. But then we need to remember, first of all, this is God's word. Next, to understand that this is not a part of the scripture where things are presented in figures of speech. And third, to realize this is in fact a part of scripture, the account of Christ's passion, which is very serious indeed. And then when Paul comes along and has an opportunity to instruct the Corinthians and correct any misunderstanding they might have had on the basis of what they'd received through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what does Paul do? He says exactly the same thing as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Some would say that what we have here is a figure of speech, a metaphor, but if any of you have taken a class on literary analysis, you realize that it's not a metaphor. In fact, the wording is exactly reversed for a metaphor. To say that Paul is a lion in battle is not the same thing as a lion is Paul in battle. If you've been in my confirmation classes, you got the full deal on that literary analysis stuff. But the fact is, it doesn't fit the form of a metaphor. Zwingli and others came up with a new name for a figure of speech that would just apply to this passage. to explain how it didn't mean what it said. But, you know, they just had to make it up. The fact is that the real presence of Christ in this sacrament fits. It fits within God's revelation of himself. It fits in the way it works in our redemption. We live our lives today. Let's step back and, if you will, get a little distance, a little perspective, and start with the fact that we live, don't we, in the wonder of creation. We have to acknowledge that by supernatural power, this little haven of life, this earth, takes its place in the cosmos. We live with that, understanding that, yes, there is something that governs our very life. We live with the perfect way that the Bible accounts for the human condition. When so many in the world are running around wondering, why is the world the way it is? You know, our third graders who've been to Sunday school can tell you that it's a broken world because human beings were created good, they fell into sin, and as a result, it's a broken world with a sense of what should have been hardwired into every psyche. As Christians, when we read the scriptures, we witness the miracle of prophecy. Hundreds of accounts, descriptions, words, events, and actions occurring in the life of Jesus spoken of in the far distant past. Far more than could be any coincidence. And then, of course, as we did a few minutes ago, we confess that we accept the virgin birth of Jesus and what it means that he is, in fact, God born in human flesh, living, dying, atoning for us in his death as God and man, and on that third day rising again to be the victor over death itself. In fact, we're here today in this room. Because, Scripture tells us, because the living, risen Christ has seen to it. There he was, an itinerant preacher in an obscure portion of the world, and he said, the kingdom of God is like this itty-bitty mustard seed. You put it in the ground, and it brings forth a tree that the birds can nest in. So we would interpret that to understand that itty-bitty group that followed him would become the church throughout the world. How did he know that? Well, the reason is because we, here at the ends of the earth, have received him in his word. He's risen, living, powerful, and present through his word. And that's why, even in this secular age, even in this age that would like to declare all religions, especially Christianity, dead, his word daily converts unbelievers to faith. Also here in the Chicago suburbs, through his word connected with water, he washes us in baptism and brings us to the oasis of his church. He knows you. You are the sheep of his pastures, and he is your good shepherd, who is present with us as our omnipresent creator, filling heaven and earth, in his union with us, giving us faith and spiritual life, and present wherever we gather together in his name around word and sacrament. And so is it, as we consider all of this, is it so strange a thing at all that he's chosen to come to us in this special way? The cup of blessing, which we bless, that we give thanks for, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? What Paul is saying is that when we gather together at this meal that we call the Lord's Supper, We commune with Jesus. We participate with him. We share with him, receiving in a sacramental way his very body and blood that was involved in the sacrifice for our sins. It's there in and with the bread and wine. To expand our understanding of this, first realize that Jesus instituted this sacrament in the context of a sacrificial meal. That it was all sharing with each other in the same room at Passover the very same sacrifice that was offered up for all of the people in that room. That's the context. The original Passover lamb, remember, died so that its blood would shield the household from the death of the firstborn in Egypt. And everybody in the household participated, shared in feasting on that Passover lamb that gave its life for them. For some 1,500 years, the Jewish people had celebrated this Passover and shared in the sacrifice year after year after year. And that's what Jesus was doing. This was part of an understanding in antiquity that the shedding of blood is necessary to atone for our sins. And this was something that was sort of universal among both believers and pagans as well. In fact, pagans sacrificed regularly, killing the animal, and then, in a sacrificial meal, also eating it. And that's, by the way, a problem here in Corinth. Not only was the context of that first institution of the Lord's Supper in a sacrificial meal, but also that's the situation here in Corinth, where our text is concerned. To eat meat that had been ceremonially set forth as sacrifice to idols, Paul tells us, was to share in the flesh and blood of that sacrifice, to share in the flesh and blood of what was sacrificed to idols, and was also to share with whoever worshiped them. And so what was a good thing where the Passover were concerned was a bad thing when sharing in a meal sacrificed to idols. In fact, since idols are nothing, the real devotion wasn't to this chunk of wood or that piece of stone, but the real devotion was to the fallen angels that we call demons. And so right after our text where he says, this is not a sharing in the body of Christ, Paul goes on, for we though many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what's offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord with the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. So when in Corinth these people gathered together, they were sharing in a sacrifice. Shame upon them if in the midst of this sacrifice, this Lord's Supper, they also had what they called a love feast or an agape feast as part of that service and included stuff that was sacrificed to these false idols. You know, it was good that they had the Lord's Supper, but it was a bad thing to be included in this idolatrous sacrifice. Because sharing in a sacrifice implied unity. And Paul did not want them to be united in a devilish way and a unity of unbelief and rebellion against God. Christians did not have specific sacrifices like the Jews did, or like the pagans did. And the reason for that was because our sacrifice was offered up once. 10. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. What Christ did in instituting his sacrament is to allow everyone who participates in the sacrament to share in a sacrificial feast with himself as the body and blood, the flesh and blood that was sacrificed for the sins of the world. That's what is meant here when he says, the cup of blessing that we give thanks for, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? You see, now for Christians, instead of getting into a room and gathering around the table with a limited number of friends and family and sharing a particular Passover sacrifice that was repeated year after year after year, now there's one sacrifice for the sins of the world that we all share in. Think about that for a minute. All Christians share in this one sacrifice, the flesh and blood of the one atoning sacrifice that was offered up once for all for the sins of the world. And so you realize that when we come to the Lord's table, we're not just communing with the communion rail, but we also are sharing in this very same sacrifice with all that have gone before in the Christian faith and partaken of that same communion, as well as all who will come after us. Because we share with those who are at the eternal heavenly feast. You know, I think of my father. You know, he had communion as a Christian on earth, and he is now praising the same God and enjoying the same blessings of the atoning grace of Christ as I do when I come to this table. So we share with those who are at the eternal heavenly feast, as well as those who have not yet been born, because the Lamb is the Lamb of God who is timeless and infinite. So our worship of the true God is timeless and eternal. Think of the communion liturgy. We try to go over that every so often here at St. Timothy, so it isn't just something we do, but it's something we understand. Remember that part of the liturgy where we say that we give thanks at all times and in all places, and that with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify the Lord. And we join in the Trinitarian hymn that Isaiah spoke of and that has been part of the church ever since. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Sabaoth means vast armies. Lord of vast armies. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna. Hosanna means Lord save in the highest place. Take us to the highest heaven. And then, in the liturgy, in the worship service, we invite Jesus to come to us. We praise the one who comes to be with this bread and wine, and we sing, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Lord, save. And we share in that same sacrificial feast with every single Christian of every age. And as we'll see in a couple of weeks, that's why we practice closed communion. Only those who share in faith in the Lamb of God are to feast together on that sacrifice that they all recognize. Not those who are uninstructed as to what's going on. Not those who think that we're just receiving crackers and wine and not those who we have no idea what they believe. Just as the Passover was only for the Jews, practicing Jews, so this feast is for those who recognize the blood of Christ here, along with the bread and wine. As Paul says in the next chapter, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So truly then, it's not just that we come to the Lord's Supper when we walk up here, but it's that Christ comes to the Lord's Supper. That's why we share in his body and his blood together with the bread and the wine. As sinners received in the Old Testament the lamb's sacrifice to save them from the death of the firstborn and shared in it, or in the sacrificial offerings that were offered up in the Old Testament for the forgiveness of sins, we receive in a miraculous and sacramental way the body and blood that was offered up to atone for the sins of the world. We share it with each other, and we share it with all who have gone before and all who come after. And what is it that we share? What is this feast? That's the question that that in the Catechism Luther puts to us and that he answers. The sacrament of the altar is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.